Amen. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 1 through 6. And Tracy was praying, and I heard her say something, and it was something I was thinking on, just loving better. We need to learn to love better in the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read the scriptures. Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you, Odias, I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Father, thank you. Thank you for the word of God. Prayed this morning, read this morning, sang this morning. Father, we ask that you be a blessing to this church and that you would answer those prayers. We want to love better. We want to do better. We want to be stronger. We want to be more like you, Father God. We truly do want to be the light of the world, Father God. And Father God, the world so dark, it ought not be that hard for the man or woman of God to shine. So, Father God, we ask right now that you would just give us the ability to shine, Father God, in the dark world, that a lost soul can look at us and see light. Thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Problems in the church, usually because folks in the church just ain't loving. I was online and I was looking up and there's 10 ways to cause a church split. I'm not going to read all 10 of them, but a couple of them came to mind, as you would think. They address the pastor. The first one says, make the church a dictatorship. Anybody ever been to a church where the pastor says, my way or the highway, and he just run everything?
Amen.
That'll cause some problems.
Amen.
How about this one? Put the pastor on a pedestal. Treat him like he's infallible, sinless, and untemptable. Any men in here other than myself are untemptable? We can't be tempted. Anybody in here? My hand's behind me. But we do. We sometimes treat the pastor like he's just God. Not. It's not. Here's one. Thought this was interesting. Make the church a social club instead of God's bride, family, and army. I like that. Okay? We ought to have a good time here. We do. I know I do. I have a good time here. I enjoy coming out here and being with you guys. Because we family. You know, we family. But at the same time, we an army too. How about that? To throw that army in there. Y'all know I like the military type verses of scripture. But we're an army. And we come here as family to re-energize and to get some love. But we got to still go back out there tomorrow. Some of us, most of us, got to go hit it tomorrow. We got to go hit it tomorrow. But look at this one. Split doctrinal hairs and major on the minors. Now, I'm not saying we ought not fight over doctrine. That's not what the Word of God would ever teach that. Well, we can get caught up in little silly stuff that will cause us to take our eyes off the Lord. And I think this is what Paul was talking about today when he addresses these two women. Because these were good women. These were good women. And the day that Paul's talking about, women had churches in their homes. Now they weren't pastors, and we're not saying that, but they had churches in their homes because a lot of the women had great wealth. If the woman was married to someone that was in the army and that person would pass away, they would accumulate great wealth. Remember, Lydia started all these churches where Paul's talking about in Philippi. Lydia started it. She was the first. She had the first church of Philippi. Be like First Baptist Church of Philippi. But other women would have churches too. And you needed a certain number of men that just you could establish a church. You needed a certain number of men. So there was some problems in this church. And Paul is going to address them in a loving way. Because really, when you talk about all the books of the Bible that Paul wrote, he loved the people of Philippi. He adored them. It was his greatest church. Not 1 Corinthians. Okay? He had major problems at Galatians. Okay? But when you start talking about the church that Paul loved, he loved the Philippian church. And if you read the book of Philippi or Philippians, you will see that Paul loved his church. So let's look at verse number 1 and see if we can go straight down the text here and glean some things. Because Paul is really talking almost a romance he has with his church. He says in verse 1, therefore what? Based on everything I wrote. Everything I wrote up to this point. Paul is saying, live by what I wrote. Live by what I wrote. Let's look at this. Philippians 3:20. Now Kayla said this morning, she said, Pastor, I try to keep up with you, but you're going too fast. You go one place and then before I know it, you're going somewhere else. So I'm going to purposely try to slow down today. It's youth day. Maybe next week I'll speed back up. Look at Philippians 3:20. Paul says this. Now think about what was going on in this church. There was some friction here. But Paul says, for our conversation is in heaven. And when he said conversation, he's not talking about just talking. He's saying that the whole of our life and all we eat, drink, and do, we do in a way that glorifies God. Paul said, everything we do as believers, everything we do as Christians ought to give God glory. He says our conversation is not earthly. He says our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What Paul said, we ought to have a God consciousness about who we are as Christians. And not just Sunday. Okay, I was talking to Madison this weekend. We had a lot of C-No Christians. C-N-O. Okay? Christians. Name only. N-O. Name only. And we can't be that way. We got to live this thing out, because when we go out into this world, we light. Y'all sing the songs. We light of the world. Light of the world. We go out. We ought to shine. We ought to shine. And Paul's saying this, you guys ought to shine. And they're saying, based on that, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved. How about that? Paul loved his church. Amen. Dearly beloved and longed for. Paul wanted to see this church. Where was Paul at? Prison. Paul is in prison, pleading with this church to love one another. How about that? Here's a man locked up, on trial, going to get the death penalty, going to have his head cut off, and he's got to write a letter to folks that's free, telling them to love one another. That's amazing to me. And there's a few of us that in here that worked in the Department of Corrections for many years, and some of the saddest people you ever see is not the ones locked up. It's the ones that hit the time clock. The staff making a lot of money, they come in and an inmate doing life is saying, what's the matter? You all right today? Really?
I ain't never figured that out. I come in, I say, huh? Okay, too much lemon in the lemonade. So he's in prison, writing a letter. These are called the prison epistles. He's writing a letter to the Philippian church saying, stand fast in the Lord. Now Paul most likely was chained to two Roman soldiers. And I'm pretty sure them Roman soldiers were saved. Okay? They heard the gospel. They would probably save Roman soldiers. Now, Paul said, if I was chained up with two Roman soldiers, saved now, okay? But I'm still locked up. They still gonna cut my head off. And that's how Paul died. They cut his head off. Okay? And he's calling his church and saying, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. What's it mean to stand fast in the Lord? Stand fast in the fact that God has died for your sins. Stand fast in the fact that you are saved. You're no longer lost. You're no longer caught up in the world. You're no longer under bondage. You are free. And if the worst thing happened to you, you're going to be in glory. Now, if you know all that and you receive the love of God by with Him dying on Calvary's cross, and you know you're saved, and you know, come what may, if you're on the Amtrak train and everybody's screaming, you're going to heaven. Okay, what happened here? Some of y'all don't miss this world. And I don't see it. I want to see if LeBron can pull it off. Listen, if you leave here, at halftime, game 7 is tied 50-50. You're going to be doing a whole lot better than LeBron if he wins. If he don't know the Lord. He says, stand fast in the Lord. What's Paul talking about? Listen, make the Lord great. Make the Lord great in your life. That's a good word. That's a good word for me. Okay? Make the Lord great in your life. Now listen, tell you something. Some of you folks out here got some things that are great in your life. And the truth be told, you know you got more reverence for that great thing than you do for the Lord. And that may be why you struggle. You struggle. Jesus was talking one day, and a man came running. Rich young ruler came running, and he said, "Listen." He said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "Keep all the commandments. Done it already. Sound like some of my foster kids. I done them all. I done kept them all." Okay. Jesus didn't question him. He said, "I deal with that great thing." He said, "Let's deal with that great thing. If you want to get to heaven, if you want eternal life, let's deal with that great thing." Amen. Now, everybody here, I can sense it. And you all think about what your great thing is, and you know what it is, because I know what my great thing is. Amen. And I got to keep that thing number 2 or number 3 or number 4. I can't let that thing creep up. See, that's what Satan did. He didn't want to be number 2, and that great thing don't want to be number 2. That great thing want to be number 1. Jesus told Richard and Ruth, he said, "Listen, I'm going to deal with that great thing." He said, "Go sell all you have and give it to the poor and come follow me." Put his head down and walk away. Some of you think about, "Man, I ain't letting up my great thing." Amen. You're going to deal with it. You're going to deal with it. Mm-hmm. Sooner or later. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:19. Paul talked to the Thessalonian church, which he thought was a great church too. He said, "For what is our hope?" Now that's a great question. What is our hope? Our hope is eternal life. That's the hope of the believer. That one day we'll look at Jesus, see Him face to face, and we'll spend all eternity in heaven. That's the hope of the believer. That's our hope. What is our joy? What is our joy? Our joy on this earth should be worshiping and praising the Lord and loving better. That, it ought to be a joy to love folks. That ain't easy all the time.
But it ought to be our joy. Paul said, what is our hope? Our joy, our crown of rejoicing. What is our crown of rejoicing? And the reason I say we ought to love one another because Jesus is love. God is love. God is love. And if you're struggling with loving folks, you may very well not have what you think or what you need.
Amen.
We ought not struggle loving folks. He says, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? He's talking about the coming of Christ. Where are you going to stand when Christ comes? And he's coming. Okay? He's coming. And where are he going to find you? Is he going to find you worshiping God? Is he going to find you fellowshipping with the believers? Is he going to find you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? Look at verse 2. Here's the two ladies. Here's the two ladies. Now, I'm the pastor, and I can say their names any way I want to. But he calls them, the names mean something. I was talking to Shane and Sue about naming a baby. I said, that name don't mean nothing. Give your baby a name that means something. That's just me. She'll name whatever she wants to. Euodia, first lady. He said, I beseech Euodia. Think about this. And I beseech Syntyche. That's how it says. That's what it says here. Syntyche or something like that. Y'all stay with me. Those things mean something. You know what the first one means?
Amen.
Prosperous journey. Prosperous journey. These are Christian names. And you know, when we start talking about prosperity, I know some of y'all look up and, I mean, I don't know, Mercedes Benz, big house on the hills, and, you know, jacuzzi and cruises. And that I'm not talking about that kind of prosperity. Okay? Prosperous journey. When God saves you, he puts you on a prosperous journey. And the fact that God saved you, and many of us in here have been saved, and we can say like David. David said, I've been young, and now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, or their seed begging bread. And if you've been in here a long time, and I look at Blanche and Deacon Oliver, if you know somebody that's righteous, that's truly been serving the Lord and worshiping the Lord, and God has been great in their life, that person has never begged bread. May not have everything, but that person has never been. So Euodia's name was Prosperous Journey. Syntyche's name was Pleasant Acquaintance. Now, what the reason why Paul named these women and the reason why they have these names, because Paul said, don't be a seen Christian. Don't be a Christian in name only. Don't be a Christian in name only. Don't just sit here and you go through all the Christian rituals and all, you got the finger up when you leave the church and you know how to usher and you know all the routines. But somebody said Wednesday night, I believe, that service starts when you walk out these doors. When you walk out these doors, okay, what you're known by in school, your classmates know you as a Christian. Do they know you've been born again? Do they know you've been baptized? Do your co-workers know you like that? It ought to be that way. It ought to be that way. And he's getting on these women. He says, beseech. He says, I beseech Yodis and I beseech Sympathy. I'm just messing her name up, but I'm going to be all right. He beseeches both of them. Why? Because Paul's writing a letter, and when Paul writes a letter, he's so intimate, he's addressing this letter to both of them. He's personally getting real personal. I beg you, and I beg you. What? That they be of the same mind in the Lord. In the Lord. There's no 50 ways to Jesus. There's no 100 ways to Jesus. Listen, some of y'all have seen Oprah on TV, and she's, there's 100 ways to Jesus. And the lady come out of the crowd, Oprah, you're wrong. Now, she didn't get a new car that day. That one didn't. Okay? She didn't get nothing that day. She don't ever come back on my show. But there's only one way. Okay? So if you're saved, and I'm saved, we both are saved. by Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That's it. Now you tell me you're saved, but you don't believe that Jesus died on the cross, then we got problems. You tell me you're saved, but you don't believe he rose from the grave, got issues. But if you're saved and I'm saved, and you believe that he was born of a virgin, died on the cross, was buried, and on the third day rose again, we can fellowship. You take one of them out, then we got problems. Okay? That's just the way it is. Now folks, well, you know, you're too dogmatic. No, I'm not. The Word of God is dogmatic.
Amen.
But Paul is saying here, he's begging both of these ladies that they be of the same mind in the Lord. So if you tell me, okay, you know, I believe I can pray to some different folks than Jesus, then we got some problems. And so their issue was not doctrinal. You get that? Their issue wasn't biblical. Their issue was something else. It wasn't doctrinal. He said, well, how do you know? Because Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 11, 18, and 19. Let me tell you something. There ain't nothing wrong with falling out over doctrine. Okay? See, sometimes God will send a false doctrine into the church just to purify the church.
Amen.
See, we don't like to think like that. We don't like to think like that, but Pastor, you got to support that with Scripture. This is what I tell young preachers. Don't say nothing if you can't support it with Scripture. Okay? Now, 1 Corinthians 11, 18, and 19 says, first of all, 1 Corinthians 11, 18, and 19, first of all, when you come together in the church, now, I'm trying to explain why I know this wasn't a doctrine, no issue. I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you. Really? That's the Bible. There has to be error in the church. Error does something. Okay? Error reveals who's true and who's false. Okay? Error will give you who to follow and who not to follow. See, we don't like doctrine. And a lot of preachers, I don't know all that doctrine. I don't need all that doctrine, all that teaching, because they don't want the teacher to expose them. Okay? Doctrine exposes truth from error. So Paul is saying here, for there must be also heresies among you. Why, Paul? That they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Paul wanted you to know without a shadow of a doubt. Now, if I get up here, well, you know, God told me this, and God spoke to me, and God said this, and God told me to leave your wife and marry the woman at the water cooler at work. See, they're problems. Because that's not reported in the Bible. And then all this stuff, people are like, God told me, God told me, God spoke to me. Listen, whatever God speaks to you, and then God speaks to me, not audibly.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
But God speaks to me, and if you have the Spirit of God in you, He's going to speak to you. He's going to speak to you. He's going to talk to you. He's going to talk to you through His Word, through His church, through circumstances in your life, and everything that He speaks to you, you're going to find in the Word of God.
Amen.
And if something's speaking to you that you can't find in the Word of God, then it ain't God.
Amen.
It's just not. This is a wonderful book. This is the greatest book that's ever written. And it will answer every question. Okay? And I'll tell you all a whole lot of times on Wednesday, three great words. I don't know. But I will research it and get back to you. Because God's Word has all the answers. I don't have to look no further. Okay? So He's telling these women, be of the same mind in the Lord. Now this is where you guys come in at. Because you're going to have it. Now, ain't no use us waiting until the tornado hit to put an evacuation plan together. Okay, this is why we have to be taught in advance. You're doing fire drills. You don't know if you work at Walmart or you work anywhere. Every once in a while they do a fire drill. And they get all the employees out and let you know what to do if something happens. Here's what the Word of God is doing today. Women's Day. Talking to these to these two women, and he's telling the church. This is interesting. He's telling the church, listen, when a fire breaks out in the church among folks that love each other, and it's not a doctrinal issue, somebody needs to help them. Somebody needs to help them. But you can't help them if you jacked up or messed up. I don't know a better word to use. Foster kids are indoctrinating me with all kinds of different words. Okay, y'all, you understand what I mean? You understand what I mean? Listen, I'm going to keep turning these pages because this was going on in a lot of churches. But Paul says here in verse 3, he says, and I entreat thee also. Now he's talking to the church. He's talking to the church. See, everybody got somebody in here that they can talk to when things get a little hot. And things will. Things will. If you think you and me in church with all these different folks and all these different places and all these different backgrounds and all these different, and you're not going to have some heated moments, you're not living in the real world. Okay? We have training. I was just telling Cindy, you know, because I work for the state, I have to take LGBT training on June 24th. Yeah. I have to. So I have a state job, and you have to take it. And some of you guys don't have state jobs, you have to take it, because that's the way the world. And I'm going to sit in there with my clericals on, and I'm going to listen. And I can listen to it. You know why? Because this book was written for God's people. And God's people going to follow it. And folks that aren't God people are not. They will do whatever they want to do. And such were some of us. And when we weren't saved, we were doing whatever we wanted to do. Okay? And this is why I say we need some light. We need some folks out there with some Holy Ghost boldness that can go out to this world and stand.
Amen.
And stand. Represent. We don't have no problem putting on that Steelers stuff. And the Browns stuff. And the Dallas Cowboys stuff. We represent everything, but we have a hard time representing the King of Kings.
Amen.
And the Lord of Lords. Paul says, true yoke fellas. Now I know somebody said, what's a yoke fella? Pastor, what's a yoke fella? It's a spiritual person. It's somebody that's right with God. And it's known that this person is right with God. This is Galatians 6:1. See, I'm taking my time. Let you turn to it if you want to. Galatians 6:1. Say, brethren, men and women of God, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Listen, if a brother or sister is overcome in a fault, if my life is messed up, they don't use me going over there, put my hand on something. Listen, sister, let me give you some advice. Or listen, brother, let me tell you how I would handle that. Because that person's going to look at me and say, dude, you got more problems than me. Okay? True yoke fellas. True yoke fellas will come up against to a brother or sister and give them the gospel. Tell them, listen, you say you're a child of God. You say you've been born again. Then the word of God said we ought to live a certain way. It got to be gentle. Okay? And that's a good reminder. You know, we don't have to sit here and dog somebody out. But the bottom line is, somebody say they're a child of God. And if I'm a child of God, you're a child of God, then really the behaviors ought to line up.
Amen.
Okay? And this was an ongoing problem in every church Paul went to. This wasn't just a Philippian thing. I have five illustrations. I'm just going to briefly go through. But it happened at Rome. In Romans 12 and 16, Paul said, be of the same mind one toward another. Okay? In 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, he said, I beseech you, brother, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Okay, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same
judgment. Talking to believers, though. He's talking to believers. Ephesians 4. Paul in prison, speaking again. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk what? Worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. How, Paul? With all lowliness, meekness, and long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's just a constant theme throughout the New Testament. And we don't like to talk about it. And we go to churches and we see folks in church, they just hot on the collar. Mean preachers, mean deacons, mean trustees, you know, folks out there serving, just slamming stuff on people's plate. Just mean, serving God mean. Okay, how you do that? Serving the Lord who saved your old rotten soul from going to hell, and now you mean. Something wrong. This ought to be the most loving place. This ought to be the most loving place. Now, I'm not going to change the name to the House of Love and all that stuff. Look at Hebrews 12 and 14. Paul's talking to this church. He said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. God's people are peaceable. Now listen, now you may be on the peaceable meter. The peace in your life, you know, you may be right around 60 or 70. I need to work on my peace. But God's word gives you the knowledge that you got an issue with it. And you sitting here today, I'm not as peaceful as I should be. Okay? I'm not. The kids get on my nerves. Come to my office, bother me. Good morning. What's so good about it? Sorry. Y'all know that's Ray. But I just want to answer. Don't ask me nothing. Good morning. What's so good about it? And I hear what I want you to say. Because I'm saved. I am saved. God has saved me. And if it's the last morning, God is still good. That's a good morning. Because I always say, you know what, is this going to be a good morning when you don't wake up? Amen. Is that going to be a good morning? That's what I do to folks. Oh my God, it's a good morning. What's so good about it? Is it going to be good the day you don't wake up? And that get their attention. You need to know. You need to know. Kayla, you with me so far? All right. I'm going real slow today. Remind me that I was down at Elkton, preaching down at Elkton. I had a translator next to me. He was a Hispanic crowd. And I was preaching, and he was, slow down. You know, I was like speaking in tongues. Down at Elkton. But I had a translator. See, Jake was teaching that. I was speaking to a Hispanic crowd in America, in English. And I had a guy next to me that was Hispanic translating what I was saying. See? So, for all y'all who don't believe that I've spoken tongues, I have. But I had a translator. I didn't even thought about that. This just came to my mind. All right. Pull me back in. See Dave Ryan up here. I'll be looking back. Dave Ryan is going to give me that look. I had never thought about it like that. Where are we at? Verse 3. Listen, he said, I entreat you, true yoke fellows, help those women which labor with me in the gospel with Clement also. Listen, now, this is where I thought it was interesting. Because some of y'all, the moment I said help, all y'all think of is help hotline or the food drive or help me, you know, and can you get any jumper cables or something like that. That's not what that word means. That is not what that word means. And I thought this was fascinating because I looked at that word. I said, he said, help those women which labor with me in the gospel. Some of y'all said, Pastor, you just digging. But you know what that word help mean? I hope y'all research this. Not in the American dictionary. Okay? That word help means arrest
It means to grab onto them women, grab them, and shake them up. Paul was serious about this. He said, help those women. Help them. Somebody needs to get up in their face, grab them by the collar, and shake them up. That's what it's saying. That's what it's saying. Snatch, to grab hold of, to take hold, to absolutely take into custody. That's what that word means. You want a line in here? Somebody needs to grab you up, take you back in that room, and talk to you.
Amen.
That's true. No fellow can do that.
Yeah.
Because we, this is serious business what we're doing. This is serious business. We can't have friction and division leaving this church, going out into the public, which we're trying to minister to. See, there's some mess coming out of these churches. Okay? And if you say, well, you know, a lot of folks ain't going to church. Because there's so much mess. And the mess is leaving the church and going out into the public. And folks is like, I ain't going there. They got them two women over there acting a fool. And that's not the testimony that the church ought to have. Paul said the testimony that the church ought to have is a church where folks love one another. And they're serious about the things of God because they know what God has done for them. And if you know what God has done for you, you ain't got no reason to wear or walk around here mad. The Bible said, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Get over it. Get over it, because if the worst thing come out of it, you're still going to heaven.
Amen.
Okay? And this is what Paul is saying. He says, help those women, grab them, you know, arrest them, handcuff, whatever you need to do. Get them to stop, because this is serious business. He said, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and other fellow laborers. Now watch this. He's talking about these women whose names are in the book of life. Now, folks, listen. That's some serious stuff. What Paul was saying, these women are saved. These women know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They've been born again. They have labored. They have done everything that you could ask a soul to do. But there's still friction. You know why? Amen. Because we in this flesh. We in this flesh. And this flesh will flare up on you. Okay? See, this is thick skin business. So you can come in here and get your feelings hurt. But you know what you need to do? Shake that thing off. Because it's just the business we're in. We're dealing with people. We're dealing with people. And every once in a while, that flesh will flare up. Mine will. I'm not above reproach. My flesh will flare up. Cindy's flesh will flare up. Margaret's will. Y'all know that already. But you know what? She'd be here every Sunday. Get some word in her. We can get a little bit out of line. All of us. Listen. Paul's talking to this church. He says that your names are in the book of life. Now, again, and I'm going to say it just one more time because I got it all highlighted here. Paul was in prison. Paul was a prisoner writing to people telling them to get yourself together. What kind of letter is that? That is something. That is something. Paul loved his church. Let's keep moving. I have some scriptures on the book of life, and I'm going to keep moving. Y'all understand the book of life? Your name might be in it. And that's a constant prayer. God, listen, if you hear it, you don't think your name is in the book of life, you need to ask God, listen, God, I want my name in the book of life.
Amen.
Okay, I want my name in the book of life.
Amen.
Because you don't want to step up to heaven, and God can't find you. Give me them numbers again. Nope. All right, hold on. Let me call my supervisor. See, you don't want to be going through all that. You don't want to go through all that at the airport. When you go to a hotel, you got a reservation, and you're like, I don't have you here. It's late. It's too late to get another room. Don't know nobody in town. Look at verse 4. Some of y'all struggle with happiness, joy, But you know what? This is not a suggestion. Okay? He says it again, twice. He's talking to both of these women. This is not a suggestion. He's not suggesting this. He's telling these women, he said, listen, because of what God has done for you. And we have to keep this in mind, people. Think about what God has done for you if you're really saved. If you truly know the Lord. Paul's saying these women's names are in the book of life and they have reason to rejoice. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Woman number one. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice. David said in Psalm 146, he said, while I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have my being. My being. And I think Paul was taking this a page out of Jesus. When Jesus talked in Matthew 5:12, he said, rejoice. He said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Don't just be a little happy. Don't just be a little glad. He said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Listen, you in that business. Truly saved man and woman of God. You're going to take some shots. You have to. It's confirmation. Okay? See, we got this all messed up. See, we think life's supposed to be just wonderful right now. We living our best life now. I mean, it's just got to be wonderful right now. And if it ain't wonderful, you ain't saved. And there's a lot of folks teach that. Amen. If you sick, you get sick, you go to the hospital, you're not saved. Mm-hmm. You catch a cold, you need to sit in the back of the church. Some people teach you don't even come to church. If you don't got a nice car, park way in the back. Because, you know, we don't want that spirit in the parking lot. Y'all think I'm joking? I am not joking. There's churches out there tell you, listen, you out of God's will because you're driving a hoopty. Y'all think I'm joking. I'm not joking. I don't play with this stuff like that. No, I'm not. I'm not joking. Amen. Listen, Paul says, rejoice, people of God. Have fun. Enjoy life, even when persecution comes. Even when things ain't going your way, even if all hell breaking out in your life, it still gets better. Okay? Listen, it still gets better. It still gets better. So he says to both of these women, rejoice in the Lord. Always, and again, I say, rejoice. And you know, one of the number one signs a person ain't right with God is they angry all the time. You can be angry. Ain't no such thing as an angry Christian. Seriously. All caps. Send you all caps. Just, you know, they send you an email, all caps. In red, exclamation mark. Then drag them all the way out. Roy laughing. He probably was sending them texts out like that. I need to see you in my office right now! Big old cross in his office and Jesus and ask for me in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Just cut the folks out. Fish on the car, crosses, cufflink crosses, mad all the time. y'all the truth. Y'all know it. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm blessed. How you doing, blessed? 2 minutes later. Kicking the coffee machine because the cup didn't drop. Look at Paul. Verse 5, my last verse. Paul says this. You rejoice, ladies, because it gets better. But he says in verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. I like that. Let your moderation, let your faithfulness, let your humbleness, let your humility, let your kindness and the gentleness, the grace and mercy of your life, let it be known. This ain't no secret thing. Let it be known to all men that you're a child of God. Let it be known to all men that the Lord is at hand.
He said, let your moderation be known. Be nice. Be gentle. Be merciful. Be full of grace and love. And you know what? We talk about the fruits of the Spirit, but it's all in there. When you start talking about the fruits of the Spirit, it's all in there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness and faithfulness and meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law. So all that comes with the package. You get, when you get saved, they give you a package. Beautiful. What's this? It's your fruits. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It comes with the Holy Ghost. And you get saved, you get it. Oh my goodness. And somebody like, I ain't got none of this in my box. Look at James. James says this, but the wisdom that is from above is pure, is peaceable, is gentle, is easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Church ought to be full of this stuff. Church ought to be full. And Paul's reminding these two women. Y'all heard it. You know, you're preaching the message that go right over your head. It's almost seem like it. Folks be arguing in the hallways. I come out of there. Sunday's coming. Wednesday night Bible study. You know, class out 5 minutes, folks, in the hallway. Screaming and hollering at you. I'm like, what could teach you? He in the book of Mike Tyson. I'm like, okay, turn to Mike Tyson chapter 4. Greatest knockouts. Here's what they heard. Second, Philippians 2:15. I'm about to close. Yeah, I used to go to a church preacher and say that. He would say that about 50 times. I'm about to close. Philippians 2:15. He says, that ye be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse world, among whom you shine as light in the world. Shine as lights. Shine as lights. I got solar lights. If they don't get no sun, they don't come on. If I put them on the trees, they don't work. And see, some of us like folks.